You know, we are reaching people all over the world. And we also support missionaries who go to various places, especially those who are developing or helping other people to develop water purification strategies to help with the physical health needs of those who are suffering from poor quality water. And if you'd like to help us in that endeavor, or if you'd like to help support the ministry that begins here but goes out all over the world, you may do so by visiting the sermonaudio.com website, looking up yours truly, John Pistorius, and clicking on the Give link, or visiting www.sjrchurch.org and going to our sermons there, and there's a giving page or a giving link or something there on that website. And we would love to have you come alongside and partner with us to help keep this ministry going. We would love to have you come alongside of us and assist in any way possible. You can help by tithing. There are some who tithe to Pastor John to assist him, giving to him in the support of the ministry. And so if you'd like to, you may also join in that endeavor. You can also give by mailing your gifts to Pastor John, care of Post Office Box 67, Shikora, Pennsylvania, C-H-I-C-O-R-A, Pennsylvania, 16025. And we definitely appreciate all of your gifts. That's Shikora, Pennsylvania, 16025. And may God richly bless you. Well, happy Mother's Day. You know, we say that, and sometimes we say it to people that maybe aren't mothers. We don't know if they're mothers, right? And sometimes we're saying it to mothers who aren't necessarily happy for a lot of reasons. But, you know, Jesus himself instructed his followers. In fact, in one particular occasion, he instructed a young man, a young rich ruler, a rich young ruler, to honor his mother. He said, well, what are the commandments? Are you keeping the commandments? You know, honor your mother and your father. And we're going to look at that today. As I stated last week, this is a series of messages that I've entitled Saying No to Jesus. How do we say no to Jesus? Well, today we're going to see one of the ways that we say no to Jesus is by not honoring mothers, by not honoring motherhood. I mean, even though we have people who are not mothers and those who have not been able to be mothers, who wanted to be, we're still commanded to honor our mother. And by implication, there's more to that. We are to honor all mothers. And motherhood is under assault in our land. In fact, it's under assault in all the whole world. And it's all the more reason for us to honor mothers. Not just today, but every day. Last week we read from the 14th chapter of John where we hear Jesus told his disciples, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will. He didn't say you might or you could or you should. He said you will. And so, implied in that is that all of his commandments are included, not just the ones that make us feel good. And maybe we don't feel bad about honoring mothers, but maybe sometimes we think mothers don't deserve the honor that we are to give them. And I think if we look at being followers of Christ, we'll see that we are to honor mothers. There's many who actually refuse to obey his commandments, even though they claim to be following Christ. They don't think they have to do anything. They don't have to follow any commandments. But he said, if you love me, you will follow my commandments. Today we're going to consider some other ways that we could be guilty of saying no. But I'm not going to force that issue. I just want you to ask yourself as I'm bringing the message, am I honoring mothers? Do I honor my mother in these ways? Well, as I said earlier, my mother passed about 8 years ago, a little over 8 years ago. And so, you know, I can't call her up, can't send her a card. And I wonder if I could, would I? Well, of course I would. I would honor my mother. I wouldn't harm her. I wouldn't go against her. All of my life I honored my mother in various ways. But one of the ways that I realized after she passed that I could honor her was to obey God's commandment by honoring other mothers, by honoring women who perhaps couldn't be mothers. We had a woman in the congregation here once who, for whatever reason, didn't have children, and she didn't like celebrating Mother's Day. We tried to help her realize that this is something that God commands, is to honor mothers. And so we celebrate this day as a way to do that. Not the only way, but it's certainly one. We're going to begin by opening our Bibles to the 18th chapter of Luke's gospel record. You'll find that on page 1619 there in the Bible in your seat. Luke chapter 18. And we're going to begin with verse 18. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts. So if you hit Acts or Romans, you're too far to the right, go to the left. Page 1619, and that's Luke chapter 18, page 1619 in the Bible there in your seats, Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 18, and we're just going to read a few verses there, down through, let's see, verse 21. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one's good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother." And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." And that's where we'll stop reading. Now, is Jesus commanding him to do that? Well, why would he share the commandments if it wasn't something he wanted him to do? He said, "You know the commandments, do these things." But these are all the ones that are related to other people. Just to give you a little expository on the text, these are not the ones that say, honor God. See, and this man wasn't honoring God because he was covetous. And that, as we go further into the text, we see that. But the point is, Jesus said, "You know the commandments: honor your mother and your father." And honoring mothers has a long history in this country. It goes back to the Civil War. A woman named Anna Reeves Jarvis was compassionate for being a mother because she had sons that were off to war, and she was also compassionate for other mothers who had their sons and husbands that were off to war. And so there were many men and teenagers that were dying in that Civil War, the war between the states, as it's called. And this day she organized was a day of prayer. A day of prayer. It wasn't a minute of prayer. It wasn't 5 minutes of prayer. It wasn't an hour of prayer. It was a day of prayer. It was a day for peace and a day for bringing comfort to those mothers who were hurting because their husbands had either died or they were fighting in the war, and because their children, their sons, were off to war. And she wanted to bring some measure of comfort to those who were struggling with this whole idea of the fight between the states. She wanted to bring a measure of comfort to those mothers who were struggling and suffering under the burden of possibly losing their sons or having definitely lost their sons. Many lost their lives in that war. And that means many mothers lost their sons. It's a sad reality. Hundreds of thousands. I don't remember the numbers. Forgive me, folks. I'm just a little tired today. But the reason that she put this together was because she wanted people to pray for mothers. Let's take a moment and pray right now for mothers. Father, we thank you for our mothers. Each of us has one. Without a mother, there would be no me or the folks that are hearing this message. And we thank you for those moms. We ask, Lord, for comfort for the mothers who lose their children. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Another woman, Julia Ward Howe, wrote the Battle Hymn of the Republic. "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." Julia Ward Howe organized a Mother's Day meeting in her hometown of Boston. And this was after, this was later than the Anna Reeves Jarvis special day. Another woman, Mrs. Jarvis's daughter, Anna, suggested turning this into a yearly event, a national event. And within a few years, the idea of honoring moms gained popularity. Mother's Day was observed in many large cities throughout the United States. And finally, on May 9th, 1914, by an act of Congress, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the first Mother's Day annually. And it was on the second Sunday in May that was going to be Mother's Day. He established this day as a time for public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers of our country. You know, when you think about that, there's a lot of mothers that have given their children the service in this country and lost those children. And it's been so now, not only here in the United States of America, but in many other countries as well. Mother's Day is now being celebrated in many countries because people recognize the need to honor mothers. And this year, as we honor moms, I want us not to forget about those who struggled as moms or lost their children. Or those who couldn't conceive. And there are many biblical examples, and I'm going to look at a few of those. Remember, Eve was the first mother whose child was murdered. And she lost two sons that day. One that was killed and the other one was sent away. That's sad. Remember the mothers whose children have been murdered. Remember that the death of a child is a difficult thing to endure. And find some way maybe to comfort those mothers. If you encounter a mother who's lost a child, bring a way to comfort them. Remember the moms whose children have gone away too. Because godly mothers grieve over their children. Whether they die or they go away. And this is a tough one. This isn't one of those bright and cheery Mother's Day messages with lots of flowers, okay? It's not a flowery message. But if we don't honor mothers, we're saying no to Jesus. That's the problem. And so much in this country now with this fight against motherhood, mothers aren't honored anymore. Mothers are beat down. And we need, as the church, we need the church, the body of Christ, to stand up and say no more. We need to be honoring mothers. Honoring moms can be as easy as just saying, I know. And I care. It would be as simple as helping them realize the love of God, which is unlimited and unbiased. You know, God's no respecter of persons. And we can praise God that He plays no favorites among His children. He doesn't just love me. He loves the world. And He loves the world so much that He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Honoring mothers can include honoring those moms that have had to give their children up for adoption. Lots of mothers that have had to give their children up for adoption. The circumstances that were beyond their control and some that were within their control forced them. But we want to honor those mothers because they brought their children to full term and they brought them into the world, and now someone else who couldn't have a child was able to have a child. We can honor those mothers. We can be thankful. We can be grateful for those moms. There's a lot of mothers that face this kind of struggle. Instead of aborting their children, though, they bring them into the world. You know, Connie and I were speaking with a young lady that hadn't had a child 50 years, and she was grieving now that she's had the experience of holding a baby. Had never done that in her life. I sent her a text this morning and I said, I'm praying for you. I thought of her and I thought, God, give her peace today as we celebrate Mother's Day. Because there are mothers who don't even know they want to be mothers until they know. And then when they know, it grieves them that they aren't. And so we want to honor all moms. Think also of honoring those who couldn't conceive. Think of Sarah. Sarah couldn't have a baby. And it wasn't until she was 90-some years old that God gave her a baby. And that baby is the child of promise. And because of that baby, A whole line of events took place. And we're all part of that because we were grafted into that family through an offspring of that child. Think of Isaac, who pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Pray for those mothers that want children but don't have them. Pray for them. Ask for God's favor on them. Think of Rachel, who was barren. And pray for those who want to have children. There's so many others. Think of Hannah. Hannah begged God for a son, and He gave her a son. And she dedicated that son to God. His name was Samuel. Samuel became a great man. And there's so many others in the Scripture that we see because somebody begged God. That prayer was heard, and it was answered. And some great individual came out of that union of prayer and God's love. And somebody came into the world because somebody else thought to pray for a mother who was barren. It's a way to honor our own mother. And thank God. And praise God and glorify God for His goodness found in His Word. Praise God for those who are known by Christ. As we honor mothers, remember those whose children are not born again, those who are not known by Christ. As our Lord was carrying the cross that He would die on, there was a great multitude of people who followed Him and women who also mourned and lamented Him. But Jesus turned to them. Now He's on His way to die. He turned to them and He said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for Me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nursed.'" Why would He say that? He's on His way to die because He knew there was great tribulation coming upon the world. We need to pray for God's mercy upon those souls that do not know Him. And part of the way that we can honor mothers is by bringing them and their children to know the One that has saved us from our sins. This is a way we can honor God. This is a way we can honor our mothers. As we honor mothers this year, let's remember that our Creator gives imagery of His love of His people in mothering terms. Have you ever thought about that? Think of what's written in the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy. God says that He took charge of His people, and as His personal possession, He was concerned for them. His people as a group. And we're grafted into that group. We are now a part of His people. He tells in His Word how He's like an eagle hovering over its young, overshadowing them and spreading its wings. You think of that big, majestic bird, the eagle, and how it protects its young. And this is the imagery that God gives of a mother eagle protecting her young. This is what God says He's like. He lifts them into the air and teaches them to fly, He says. This isn't masculine imagery. This is tender. This is loving. This is our Creator. So when we honor mothers, we're honoring God, who Himself is like a mother over His flock. Remember, Jesus said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I wanted to gather you together like a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings." Think about that. This is not masculine. This is feminine. Our Creator wants us to recognize that He has those characteristics of a mother protecting her young. It's tender. It's loving. What's not stated but is obviously, clearly implied is that Almighty God defends His people like a mother eagle too. He defends His people because that mother eagle, she's not going to let you get close to her babies. They've got to stay in that nest, though, to be protected. Come out of that nest, they're on their own. Some point in time, they get on their own. In Psalm 22, which speaks of the Messiah, we hear David say, "Almighty God is like a midwife who cares for the baby that she brought into the world." He cares for His people, just like a midwife who brings a baby into the world. And we can remember to honor mothers by reminding everyone that God loves and cares for them this intimately. That God knows us when we were born into His kingdom. He brought us into His kingdom. And He loves us like a mother and like a midwife. He loves us like a mother eagle, fiercely defending us. But at the same time, He has this intimate relationship with us because He brought us into His kingdom. That's very interesting to me. He doesn't just do this for us, though. He does this for all who call upon His name. All. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall. He doesn't say they might be. He doesn't say they could be. He doesn't say maybe. He said they shall be saved. They shall be born again. They shall be treated like that midwife treats the baby that she brings into the world and then lays at the mother's breast. This is what He's talking about. This is the language that He uses. This is our Creator. In the 49th chapter of Isaiah, we learn that the people believed the Lord had turned away and forgotten them. They thought God had turned away and forgotten about them. But what does He say? He says, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. God tells His people, I'm not going to forget you. Even whenever you trip up, you wander away. But then, in Isaiah 49:16, we hear the Lord tell them that they were always in His thoughts. Always. We can comfort mothers who are struggling. We can comfort mothers who are at a loss because of their children. And how? By reminding them that God is with them. If in fact they're His. In Isaiah 66:13, we hear the Lord say, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, speaking to His people. God will comfort you. And we can share these words with those mothers who are hurting. We can share these words. This is a way to honor them by giving them the truth of God's Word, where He says, I will comfort you. Yes, He loves His people. He compares Himself to a mother who cares for her children. We have to never forget that in Hosea 13:8, we learn that He becomes angry with those who turn away from Him consistently. He says that He becomes angry with them. He says He'll devour them like a lion. He'll lurk for them like a leopard. He'll tear them apart like a bear who's been deprived of her cubs. So these are my people. But He says, if you turn from me for too long, He gets upset with them. That's what He says. It's not me. It's Him. And again, He uses that motherly image of a bear who defends her cubs. But He says He'll tear them apart because of their sin. And this is why we can share the Messiah, because it's by God's Messiah that we can have the protection of Almighty God. It's not a pleasant image, but it is one that He uses to show His nature. Don't remain outside of His protection. As we honor moms this year, let's remember the mother who suffered more than any other. Yeshua's mother. Think about that. We know that she trusted Him. She trusted Him to help her. He had, at the wedding in Cana, ran out of wine. Maybe she was the one that was organizing the party. Who knows? And she says, hey, whatever my boy tells you to do, you do it. She knew he'd take care of it. And he said, Mother, it's not my time. She said, come on, take care of this for me, son. And he did. They had a close, intimate relationship. But think of how pleased she must have been when he honored her request. Maybe even a bit proud. That's my boy. You know? Think about that. Think of how he honored his mother by producing the wine for the wedding festival. But not just any wine. It was the best wine. That's what's written. And there was this exclamation, you know, after everybody's drunk, you bring out the bad wine. But no, not you. You brought out the best wine. And his mother was there to say, yeah, that's my boy. But think about how she suffered. As the religious leaders became upset with him, for the signs, the miracles, the wonders that He performed. Mary and the Lord's siblings believed He'd lost His mind, according to the Gospel record of Mark. Mark's Gospel record says they thought that He was out of His mind. I've read that many times and it just never struck me. Like, that was His mom. Now, her name isn't mentioned there, but she was among them when they came to collect Him. When they came to get Him, she was there. Because some people came in and said, "Hey, Jesus, your mom and your siblings are out there." And He said, Who's my mother? Who's my sibling?" He was already on His path. He knew. He was going to the cross and that was it. There was nothing going to stop Him. And He knew they were there to try to stop Him. "Come on, calm it down a little bit, son. You're going to get yourself killed." Think of those mothers that suffer because their children have made choices that get the authorities after them. Now, in His case, it was righteous. Not everybody else's is. Think about how she had to watch Him go through these trials, these mock trials. And get an unfair trial. You didn't get a fair hearing. Think about that. And think about the mothers, even today, whose children might not get a fair hearing. Maybe because they can't afford the right counsel. Think of how they wanted to arrest Him and tried to arrest Him. And think of how His mother must have felt when she knew that there was a price on His head. As we honor moms, imagine the pain that a mother goes through as she watches her child endangering themselves. We all have children, I think. Most of us here, not all of us, but most of us have children here. When we see our children doing something that maybe gets them into trouble, it doesn't feel good. As we honor moms this year, think about those moms. And think about ways we might comfort them. Think of the mothers who have children that are locked in a prison. And even those that have prisons without walls, like those who are in addiction. Think of those mothers. And how might we be able to alleviate some of their suffering? That would be an honoring thing to do. You know, Mary watched as her son was tried unjustly. In this Mother's Day, remember moms who are not getting a fair trial. When children suffer, mothers suffer. The authorities were used by God in that case to bring about His redemption plan. But that didn't take away her pain. She still wept at His death. She still suffered. Mary watched Him get spit on. She watched Him get beaten. She watched Him get hit with those whips that had pottery and shards of metal on them, ripping His flesh from His body. She watched that. That was her boy. She suffered right along with Him in that respect. We have to consider these things whenever we think about honoring mothers. He was our suffering servant. Remember those who are serving all over the world and suffering as a result of their service. We have people in this land who are serving all over the country. Think of the first responders who put their lives on the line. Think of all those who serve in various capacities, perhaps on police departments all over this land, all over the world. And think about their mothers. Maybe you're concerned every day because their child is out on that front line. Honor them some way. Help. If you know somebody whose child is serving in some capacity or other, do something honoring for them. Think about those whose children are brutalized by others. Figure out some way, maybe to honor those moms. Mary watched her son get crucified. She watched him die. She watched him buried. Remember moms who've had to bury children? That's a tough one. I know it's a tough one. My parents had to bury a child. Very tough. It was the worst thing I ever saw them go through. And this isn't to try to put you down, folks. It's to help you realize that there are people out there that need you. There are people that need you to honor God by somehow, some way helping them. And in that, you're honoring mothers, all mothers everywhere. Because when you help a mother, When you help a child, you're helping a mother. And not just the little children I'm talking about. We all have mothers. And when we help someone else, when we feed the hungry, when we clothe the naked, when we help people get clean water, we're helping their mothers. We're honoring the mothers who gave birth, who brought them into the world. No doubt that Mary's grief was tangled with her desire to comprehend God's plan in all of this. How could this be God's plan? Because there was the prophecies that said He was the Savior. He was the Messiah. He was the one. And here He was getting nailed to a cross. Here He was dead. Here He was being buried. All of her hopes, all of her dreams had to go into that grave. And then imagine the joy that she experienced when He came out of that grave. And imagine that. You can help a mother to know that her child will be resurrected. Think about that. When you share the gospel, when you share the good news of Christ, you're helping a mother. You're honoring a mother who brought that child into the world because you're giving them the opportunity to have everlasting life. Think about the joy that Mary must have experienced and help another mother to experience that joy by sharing the good news of the gospel. The good news of Christ crucified. He was crucified and His mother saw Him crucified. But then He rose. He arose from that grave. And so will each of us because of His sacrifice. As I wrap this up, I want you to know that we don't have to literally say no to Jesus. Be like those hypocrites of old. We can say no to Jesus by not honoring mothers. Not just our own mother. But all those who've suffered. Those who've lost children. Those who couldn't conceive. Those whose children have gone to jail. Those whose children are locked in a prison of addiction. Why not resolve to say yes to Jesus every day in every way? Why not resolve to say yes to Jesus? By honoring mothers, by sharing that good news, by sharing the gospel. Let Him use us to share the love of Christ to mothers. That certainly would honor them. And let us allow our Savior to use us to share the good news with their children. Let Him use us to do the most honoring thing we can do for mothers everywhere. Spread the gospel. You can honor moms by helping us to reach them. Supporting the ministry that we do here helps us to reach mothers. It helps us to reach their children. You can honor moms by sharing the gospel yourself. You can. And in us and through us, He'll be able to accomplish His full desire, which is to save souls. Ultimately, that's our role, folks. He wants to transform lives. He wants to build His kingdom to His glory, and He uses us to do it. Isn't that amazing? Why? Why would He use us? Jesus said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel." And in that simple act of sharing the good news, and by supporting others who do that, who actually do it, who are engaged in the process, we're honoring our mother who gave birth to us and brought us into the world. Say yes to Jesus. Hear what He has to say. And then do it. Just do it. Honor your mother. And share the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. Help us to keep the teachings of Christ. And help us in that to honor our mothers. We pray, Father, that we would have true faith. We know that we're not called servants any longer, even though we are servants. But we've been called friends. Because our Lord has made us to know what He heard from You. Help us to say yes to Jesus. Help us to hear what He has to say and help us to do what He says to do. In these days when motherhood is under attack, it's under assault, help us to be those who go forth into all the world and uplift mothers, encourage mothers, draw them into the kingdom, Your kingdom. As we serve You to Your glory, we pray in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Now let's open our hymnals to number 183. The title of the hymn is Faith of Our Fathers, but we're going to replace the word fathers with the word mothers. Faith of our mothers living still. The faith is living. Maybe our mother isn't, but the faith is. And so let's sing it together as loud as we can to God's glory. Number 183, Faith of Our Mothers.